Matthew chapter 26. Since we were in the neighborhood this morning, we might as well go ahead and stop over in Matthew 26 and verse 1. Song was good, wasn't it? Man. That'll help you through a trial. Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass. Y'all seeing it like that? And it came to pass when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples. Y'all good? Y'all seeing it like that? And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings. Jesus just got through chapter 24, chapter 25, now 26, preaching and teaching on the second coming of Christ, the resurrection, and real truth. I guarantee you this, when you do that, when you minister to people about the second coming of Christ, about the resurrection, you will then come under great trial and tribulation. You might want to write that down. All right, we are a strange people, God's people are, in 2019, because sometimes we think that we can preach the gospel, be a witness of the gospel, be a witness of Christ, see our friends saved, see people come to church that don't normally come to church, preach the resurrection and the power of God to them, see them delivered, see them saved, see them whole, and the devil will say, "You're all right with me. I won't bother you." That's absolutely opposite, okay? So when Jesus got through teaching these things, he said unto his disciples, okay? Listen what he says to them. "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." You teach on crucifixion, you teach on second coming of Christ, teach on the resurrection, deliver people, and guess what happens next? Cross. They crossed him, right? So you got to understand this. When you're ministering to people and loving on people, and then all of a sudden you give them profound truth and you see life change, don't be surprised when the enemy shows up in your life. From that day for a while, like I knew this morning after I got through, I said, I have signed up for trials and tribulations the rest of this month. But I'm all right with that. Because some of the best thing you're going to figure is when you are in a fight, you know you're doing damage to them. So then you just got to be all right. You got to buckle up and say, all right, this is a fight. So some of y'all this week, when you're fighting with your husband, your kids, your work co-workers, and your community, really, you got to say, all right, well, we had an unbelievable service Sunday. We worshiped God. We learned about the second coming of Christ. I'm more encouraged about my life and what's going to go on. Now you better know, all right, we're going to be meeting some trouble. That's when you can say, all right, you can just go ahead and write down, praise you, God. I'll praise you through this right here. I'll praise you because people's lives are being changed. Things are happening. Amen? I love that. You know, after 2 days is the feast of Passover. I love the Passover was Jesus. Amen? The very first Passover was a symbol and type of Jesus Christ. Amen? I love when I see that. Man, they were doing all this stuff right at Passover. They were taking him and crucifying him and taking him outside the city right during the Passover. Every time I read about the Passover story in the Old Testament, in Exodus, is my favorite part is they take a lamb without spot or blemish, right? And they bring it into the house. Whew. And they let the kids hold and play and see this little lamb. Could you imagine what that was like? What do we? Oh, I'm going to name him this. Let's not. Hey, man, he's so cute. I wonder what he's going to be like when he is. He's not. Hey, man. But isn't that Christ? Once you understand the relationship of who Christ is, he's like your best friend. He's your healer, your Savior. He's everything to you, yet he's a crucified Savior. He's going to have to be crucified for you. Amen? Man, Jesus is like, hey, y'all are doing all this right during the time of the Passover. This is me. Remember, he said, place the blood, strike the blood upon the doorpost. I've been begging somebody to sing this song. Is the blood still there? It's one of my favorite songs. Little boy laid down at night and said, is the blood still there? Those storms may come, winds may blow, but the blood will still be there. I can't sing. If I could, I'd sing that song. Amen? Because I'll know one thing. No matter what happened, when they put the blood upon those doors, that death angel passed by, if the blood was there, the people inside were saved. Don't you love when you read that story? Listen, I don't mean to get off on a rabbit trail, but you know why we're here? We might as well hunt, right? I just like this part that, guess what? It never says anything about what the people on the inside of those houses were like, because guess what? All he was looking for was the blood or no blood. Didn't say, man, the people inside the house were great people. All he did was look for the blood. It's 2019, and guess what? When we stand before God, all he's going to do is look for the blood. No matter if you're good, bad, or indifferent, do you have the blood applied? And if you do, you're passed over. If not, he's coming in. My goodness gracious. That's just simple theology. If the blood's on you, you're his. If it's not, you're not. Boy, I like simplicity. Amen? God put salvation on a shelf that everybody could reach. You ain't got to be too smart, and you ain't got to be too dumb. All you got to do is, it's free gift, take it, accept it, right? Man, I love that stuff. The Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. If you ever find yourself, can I preach to you a little bit tonight? If you ever having a ministry moment where you and a bunch of people are getting around and you're trying to figure out how to do something subtly, pray and go home. Amen? Because God likes to do stuff in the light where everybody knows what's going on. But all these high priests and such are getting around subtly and they're praying about how to kill God. Somebody should have said, you know what? This is awful. Amen? I love what they do right here. Listen what they do. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. That's when you know you've gone really awry. Let's kill God where we don't upset people. Amen? I don't want to upset God, and if I live that way, then the people will take care of themselves. Amen? If you've got a religion that you're worried about how the people are going to react, you are going to be miserable, because it's hard to please people. I am one, I know. Amen? But I know one thing, if I'm pleasing to God, then I will please the right people. Amen? You see it? Every time I read that, I'm sitting there thinking, man, they're sitting there talking, man, we gotta do this and we've gotta do that. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wonder, have you ever wondered when somebody's got a plan and they've got a wicked way and they've got a thing going on? You think, man, I wonder what God's gonna do, right? God, if you didn't notice, go back up to verse 2. You know that after, y'all help me, y'all be all right Sunday night. Watch this. You know that after 2 days is the Feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Never mind. Yeah, I don't know if y'all got this. He told them what was going to happen before they had the meeting. Amen? He knew about the meeting. He knew about the payment. He knew about the person that was going to betray him. But guess what? And he told them, look, in 2 days... it's going to seem like they had a good plan, but their plan was already my plan. Here, golly, y'all need to get with this. Listen, my plan was good. My plan to be crucified has always been there. I'm just letting them get involved in this part right here, because I need a vehicle to get to Calvary. Golly. I'll go ahead and knock out some theology. Some people say, who did it? Who killed him? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? It pleased God. Yeah, have y'all read that in Isaiah? It pleased God to crush him for our iniquities. Man, gosh. It pleased God to crush him for our iniquities. How can that be? Because when he put our iniquities on him, he became us. Amen? Him that knew no sin became sin and died on the cross. God's always ahead of everybody. Don't worry about God. Don't worry. Hey, listen, can I preach to you? It was a time when they were carrying the tabernacle and they were carrying it the wrong way. And that thing got to wobbling a little bit. Have you ever had a time in your life where it seemed like God was wobbling? An old boy propped him up and he died. Amen? Instantly. I wonder if he stood before God after he took his last breath and God said, "You don't have to prop me up. I'm God. I know what I'm doing." Sometimes I got to think I got to prop God up. "Hey, God, I know you're God and everything, but let me show you." I'm surprised he ain't zapped me a couple times. Amen? We're going to get to heaven. We're going to find out God's going to be like, "Hey, it was a couple of times. I thought about pulling you out of the game. You was doing more damage than you was good." Amen? I'm not talking about when I was lost. I'm talking about when I was saved. What? Old boy thought he was going to help God out. God said, "Not so." Amen? And the only reason he did it, I hate preaching every message I got. The only reason he did it was God was saying, "You can't carry me just any old way. You can't carry me just any old way." Some of us need to learn from that. Some of us are trying to carry God in the world. We're trying to put him in a God. God had a precise way he had to be carried. In that Ark Covenant. Guess what? Somebody tried it. "Well, we'll just put him with two oxen. We'll put him on a cart. We'll put him on a brand new cart. We'll just roll." And guess what? God's like, "No, no, no. You can't do it that way. You got to do it my way." Amen. That's a whole other message. It didn't cost you anything. Now, Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Ain't that something? Why is Jesus hanging out with people that the church won't hang out with? We always look at certain situations. Listen, I'll read this to you again. Now, Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. God took a whole places. There were certain places in the Bible. Leviticus. Listen, this is what you do with lepers. Stay away from them. Ostracize. Separate. Cleanse. Wash. Look. Make sure. And then Jesus comes along, sit in the house with them, and have dinner. If you don't know what leprosy is a flesh-eating disease that if you get it, it can eradicate everything in you will dissolve as a human being. And it was just a very type and shadow of sin. Sin starts as a spot and begins to spread, and as time goes on, you dissolve from the person that you were. Golly, in a meeting in a revival, people be like, "Hallelujah, amen, that's true. When I got involved in sin, it was a little dabble do me. Until one day I looked in the mirror and I didn't even know the guy I was looking at. The things I would say, I'll never, ever, ever do that. Doing it past that hurdle. I'll never be like my mom. I'll never be like my dad." You're right. You'll be worse. Amen? That's how the devil, and next thing you know, you're dissolved as human. And Jesus, listen, this should give you some encouragement or a shout at least. God walks right in and sits down with him. All the apostles, all the disciples, and everybody looking on, he's in the house of a leper. The religious people, "What in the world is he doing? I don't." Some of you are going, "Well, he was healed." It didn't matter. There's just some people you don't hang out with unless you're Jesus. Jesus will walk through and visit in places that you would never go. Thank God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God never stopped going and reaching for you? It's because some of you in here know this. God reached for you when you knew he shouldn't reach for you. Golly, I'd take you to a party one time. I was walking out of the bathroom past a guy. Guy turned around, looked at me and said, "Man, you're not supposed to be here. God's got something for you." I said, "Shut up, man. You're killing me." At a party. Amen? Probably 10, 12 years before I was ever called to preach or do anything. Saved or anything. What? God's got a big call in your life. I knew that since I was 8. You don't need to bring it up now. Golly. We're so spiritual sometimes. God, won't he? Remember when he came after you? Remember when certain little times where, you know, you might have done whatever and played it off cool, but then you couldn't sleep very well? Is there anybody else in here feel that way? I mean, you run through your mind. You're driving, man, I wish they hadn't done that, ruined my whole day. Now I'm wrestling with God. I was just wrestling with myself before. Little girl, July 4th of 04. I got to work the dates out in my mind. Y'all just stay with me. July 4th of 04, a little girl planted a seed in me, made me so mad. Asked me 3 or 4 little questions. "You ever seen the Passion of the Christ?" "Yes." "No, I didn't see it." I said, "No." She goes, "You know that Jesus is coming back?" "Yeah." She goes, "You know, if you're saved, you'll know where you can spend eternity." "Nobody knows that." She goes, "Oh, yeah, you do." Wore me out. She wore me out. Because she left and I left. But I didn't sleep very well for a while. Dealt with my heart. Just a couple months later, Jesus saved me. Amen? That's how it works. Y'all having a good time tonight? I am. Man, I love preaching the Word of God. There ain't nothing better on the planet to me. "There came unto him," I love this. "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Man, y'all got to get to understand this. I know I preached it a lot. Some of you, hey, listen, I'm in love with this story. And I've got a mandate to preach it, so I'll just go ahead and tell you that. God's told me I can preach as many times as I want to. "There came unto him having a woman having an alabaster box of ointment was more precious." It was like a year's wages. She was supposed to give this to her husband and her husband alone, but she didn't have one. Jesus was about to be crucified, and he was going to be hastily buried, and the only people that were going to take care of his body were men. Amen? So God said, "No, I'll leave that up to a couple guys." Some of you women should have said amen right there. It'd been all right. So he sends this lady. He sends a woman with an alabaster box of ointment that's supposed to be for her husband, but she breaks it out. She comes down there, and she don't go into detail here, but she walks in the room and breaks it open and pours. Listen, this ain't this. Amen? This ain't this. This is a whole horn of oil. This is pounds. And it's strong. It's spikenard. I mean, if I were to pour out a half a gallon of that up here on this stage, there'd be people outside going, "Man, what's that smell?" Amen? Man, it's wonderful. It's strong. It's powerful. Amen? It's covering. It's worship. It's love. It's compassion. It's mercy. It's grace. It's saying, "I love you more than you love me." Amen? "I think of you more than I think of myself. Nobody gave to you, but I'll give everything." Is somebody walking in the room and everybody going, "Why is she here?" "I came here because nobody else is going to do what I was called to do. You should have, but you didn't, but I will." Amen? Came in, cracked that, and poured it out. Can y'all see this? Jesus has not said a word. "I need this. I want that." He didn't say that. She's like, "I'm just going to do it because I believe he wants me to do it." And this is like, man, it fills up the room. And everybody in there is not having to wonder where she stands. She has just changed the atmosphere in the room. Have you ever changed the atmosphere in a room for Christ? I'm sure some of you have changed the atmosphere in a room for yourself or your point of view or what you wanted. But have you ever come in and say, "You know what, I'm going to change the atmosphere for Jesus"? I'm going to make this a better place to work. I'm going to make this a better place to eat. I'm going to make this a better place to be around. I'm going to make this a better home. She came in and she done that. Boy, I like that. But when the disciples saw, y'all underline that verse 8. Y'all, a lot of people don't preach this. They always jump on Judas, but they don't get this part. But when the disciples, with the S, hello? Y'all see it? They had indignation saying, to what purpose was this waste? All of them. Shame on us. Amen? Shame on us sometimes. If you ever see somebody do their very best and you wonder, man, why is he doing that on a Wednesday? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing it on Sunday night? Why in the world? Why? Man, Jesus is going over the top. You know what I mean? Doing like that. Going out of her way. Going out his way. Doing, man, just trying to show up everybody. Not so. Just trying to show Jesus. Amen? Now listen, I'm not talking about, everybody, I mean, every one of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, Andrew, all of them, look, God, y'all need to get this, in their heart. It's like, why? What is she doing? I don't get it. Every one of them should have been like, I know exactly what she's doing. 3 years ago, that would have been me with the oil. Golly, I wish somebody would just be real. 3 years ago, that'd be, about 10 years ago, that'd been me. 15 years ago, I'd be the one shouting. I'd be the one running. Man, I used to be testifying. I'd say, I do. I remember when I used to get up early in the morning and pour over that Bible and cry and weep. Right? Some people ask me a lot of times, what is your favorite thing about ministry? I'm being honest with you. It's a flat out truth. What is your favorite? When God baptizes me in my own tears. That is my favorite time with God. Period. When I get into the place where he's there and he's so heavy and he's so strong that I can't do nothing but cry before him, that is my favorite place. Because it's the meeting place between me and God. I don't have to say nothing. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to pretend to be nothing. All I have to do is just sit there and Jesus will be God. Amen? And it's so sweet. Amen? And I don't care. This used to be a thing, and I don't know if it is here. It's not here, but I wonder why they went to the altar. I wonder why they go to the altar. Who cares what you're doing with God if you're doing it with God? Amen? The persons are persons who would wonder what their major issue. Man, you talking about some issues. These disciples had more issues than a woman did. Amen? And they're going to work them out. God will work them out. Listen, y'all need to write that down too. God will work everybody else's issues out. If you get close to God and do what you're supposed to do, he'll work everybody else out. Amen? Sometimes we sit there and think, man, if I'll fix them, then I'll fix it, and I'll get this, and I'll get... No, it don't work that way. You just love on Jesus and love on people and get out the way. Man, that's good preaching. But when the disciples saw it, verse 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Man, sounds good, don't it? Sometimes we say stuff in the church that sounds good, but it's ludicrous, right? Oh, we're thinking about the poor today. No, sometimes we don't think about the poor. We ain't thinking about nothing. We think about ourselves. Can I preach really? It made them uncomfortable because they weren't going to be willing to worship and get close to God and pour themselves out and be a fool, make look like a fool. And you know what? Everybody, guess what? They were like, man, why, we could be helping the poor right now. That sounds good, but what you're really saying is I didn't do anything and I don't want to do anything, and her doing something is really wearing me out. Amen? You only got two choices. I'm going to preach simple to you. You only really got two choices. When somebody's doing something for God, join them or be mad about it. Amen? That's the way it is in the church. They're doing stuff. All you can do is criticize. Oh, man, I don't like the way they did that. I didn't like the way they did it. Didn't sound good. Didn't do it. I was doing it. I did blah, 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 whatever. Or you can say, you know what? Can I help? Can I get in there with you and get some of that? Amen? Hopefully some of it will wash off on over to me. Amen? My dad told me something a long time ago, and it stuck with me. When God wants somebody to do something, you ain't got to worry. It's going to get done. Amen? God ain't got no ifs when things are going to get done. See, he was sitting there and nobody done it. So he sent for somebody. So if you're ever wondering if God's in your ministry or God's in your thing, guess what? If it gets took care of, God's in it. If it don't get took care of, God's probably not in it. Amen? Because guess what? Jesus is sitting there in the house and ain't nobody washed his feet. Ain't nobody gave him anything. And he's just sitting there and he's going, and listen, I'm being honest with you. I know I preach this a bunch. Guess what? God does take inventory and he's pretty good at it. Amen? He sat there. I guarantee he sat there long enough. All right. Peter? All right. James? John, the one whom Jesus loves? Okay. Doubting Thomas, got you. The leper? I'm in your house, yeah. Okay. I guess a little 80s song just ringing in my ears. Sending out an SOS. I don't know why. Y'all know what? Y'all ever heard it? Sending out an SOS. Y'all laugh, but it's good, ain't it? Sending out an SOS. All of a sudden, God just starts sending out a message to Mary. Get your alabaster box and get down here. I need you to hurry up and get down to the house, to get down here to Simon the leper's house, because nobody wants to worship me and nobody wants to cover me. They're all too cool or too religious or too whatever. They're just too past me. They're over me. They're over what I did. They've been with me. They've walked with me. They're just over who I am. I need somebody to come down here that's not over me. I want somebody to come down here who's just not got over me yet. Have you got over Jesus yet? Have you just got over him with your salvation? The grace it took to cover you, the mercy it took to cover you? So I just need somebody to come down here that ain't over me. As soon as she walked in the room, she goes, I ain't over you. I ain't over you. I'll never get over you. Amen? She walks in there and she's like, I'm going to take care of Jesus. And listen, I love preaching this. She never makes a defense of herself. Listen, you need to write this down because this will come back. If you're going to serve God right, you don't have to defend yourself. Shut up and keep serving God. I know I say it rougher than God does. Be quiet. Keep serving the way God wants you to serve. And he will defend. He's good at it. Amen? Y'all believe me? Watch. I'll show you. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation in their heart, for the ointment was much poor. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, understood what? Did y'all hear it? Understood what? He understood their heart. Every one of them. He read their book. Amen? God reads your book. You can hide it from everybody else. He looks right into your heart. So don't come in here faking and fronting on God. Acting happy on one end, be miserable on the other. God knows you. Amen? He'll read your mail. Amen? Might as well just go ahead and surrender. All right, look at this. Listen, I love it. Y'all ready? Why trouble you the woman? Why? Y'all get it? They ain't said nothing. They have not said a word. God, y'all need to get this. Grab hold of this right here. Why you trouble the woman? You know what he's asking? He goes, I've been reading your heart. Why are you troubling her? We're not. I never said nothing. Huh? Your thoughts towards somebody are just as important as your actions towards somebody. Uh-oh, y'all want to have an altar call now? Because you can say one thing and think another. Bless her heart. Bless his heart. Might as well just say, you know, I can't stand you. Why trouble you? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. What? She did this for me. She wasn't doing it for you. God, listen, if he's looking at their heart, he's looking at her heart. If you're doing it for the right purpose, you don't have to defend. Who's talking? God. Who's he talking to? The people that had indignation. Who's not talking? The woman. Who is he not talking to? Her. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. Listen, when I'm right in the center of God's will, I rarely defend myself. Because I don't have to. I'll just do what I'm doing. The results will speak for itself. If it falls apart, it wouldn't have God. If it's great, it'll be God. Anybody want to shout? It's kind of good stuff. I got to shout him. You know, I just came out of revival, but it's pretty good. For you have poor, listen, Jesus is cool. Yeah, y'all agree with this? This little statement right here, Jesus is cool? Look what Jesus did to him. He wrecked them. He wrecked their little We wanted to help the poor. What he just wrecks them right here. You have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. Whoop! He just wrecked them, right? He just wrecked them. He said, listen, you want to do a work for the poor all day. You can get up tomorrow, the poor going to be here. You can get up for a month from now, the poor will be here. And what he's saying right there, God said, and I will watch. Amen? The poor, the widows, and the orphans. I'm watching. From Genesis to Revelation, he's watching. Amen? He goes, but he says, he goes, look, you got the poor. But listen, when you got me, you better take care of me. I can tell you this. Let me give you this right here, and I hope you always abide to this. If Jesus shows himself to you, magnifies himself in a service, in a car, in a home, in prayer, in the Bible, turn into it. Don't turn out of it. Here's what I mean. If all of a sudden you're singing a song and all of a sudden people start moving and worshiping God, you don't got to find another song. You hear me? You found it. Amen? If you find God, turn all the way into him. We'll say, well, we couldn't handle it. We might fall apart. Good. Good. That's what we want to do. We want to fall apart. Because if you fall apart, he can put you back together again. He's really good at it. I've done it a bunch. Fall apart, and he is so good. You can't even see where he glues the cracks back. That's a whole other message in that. Why trouble you, the woman? You have the poor with you always, but me you have not always. For in that she poured out the ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Whew. I can't help but get. This stuff was so powerful and so strong. And so, man, listen, for the next 3 or 4 days when he needed it the most, he needed to know somebody loved him. Because everybody that was everybody ran, and they had to. That was on purpose. But it would always be good. Listen, man, I wish y'all get this. It's all, listen, when you got, when in ministry, it's not all the big things you get to do and all the big places. It's the broken people that God lets you see get put back together. That when you're going through a tough trial, God, I wish y'all get this, man, it's so strong. Like every once in a while the wind would blow a certain way when he was getting beaten or when somebody was spitting on him or when he was in the garden praying and all of a sudden the wind would blow another way and he'd say, oh man, remember when we healed those lepers? All 10 of them ran like crazy and that one came back. Man, I love that day. That's why it's worth it to go through this, right? Remember blind Bartimaeus? I was going down through there to Jericho, and man, we were coming out of Jericho and went and seen a whole lot going on, and all of a sudden he just starts screaming, Jesus! Listen, blind people don't care if you're offended by them screaming because they need to be healed. And I loved him. I remember the little woman with the issue of blood. You know, everybody, I just got back from the demonic man, which kind of freaked out all my apostles and disciples. We were headed to Jairus' daughter's house where she had passed away. And little old woman with an issue of blood, she was bent down real low, and she just very grabbed the hem of his garment. You know what I mean? So that fragrance will remind him, I did this for the people that I love and the people that love me. They would die on this cross 1,000 times for me, but they can't. But somebody loved me. Amen? Listen, I don't mean to be weird about this, but I want you to get this. Sometimes I hope that my life is a fragrance in the nostrils of God that says somebody loves me. Amen. Because that's why we want to do this, is because we love God. I'm not very good, and you're not very good, but if we can give God our very best, as meager as it is, man, if the king knows you love him, man, just think how we can use that. Amen. If every once in a while the king would just go, man, somebody, they did it because they love me. You don't think God will get in that? He'll get in that. Listen, let's go ahead. Man, good Lord. I'm hoping hope this message drives some of y'all to service and some of y'all with just crazy worship. Amen? You say, well, can we handle that in our church? I hope so. Man, I had a tear so big I couldn't see through it. Verse 13, verily I say unto you, Look at this verse 13. You want some validation? Look at this validation right here. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done for be told for a memorial of her. Mandate. God gave me a mandate, because every time you hear this, you go, well, I wish it would. Guess what? There's a mandate right there. God said, wherever this gospel's preached, somebody better talk about what this woman did. Amen? Because what she did is literally what I'm doing at the cross. She took her very best in a great, awesome container. Jesus, God gave his very best in a very awesome container, which is Jesus. Amen? She carried it down to Jesus. Jesus carried it to Calvary. She broke it open. They broke it open. She poured it out. He poured it out. Amen? It was for his burial. It was for our burial. Amen? That's all it is the gospel. So wherever we preach this, when that woman came in there and done that for him, you know what? I bet all the apostles later on in life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when they wrote their gospels, but even though they look back, I bet when they looked at it near the end of their life, I bet they, you know how things look good when you go back, you look at it and you say, remember that? God, y'all help me. Listen, I'm about to close, I promise. Listen, remember that one time we were at Simon the leper's house? We were just young. We weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And we thought we knew everything, and we was kind of wrestling each other for a position. And we shouldn't have been, because we're already in position with God. You know, y'all get that later. Remember, we didn't know a whole lot. And remember when that girl came in? Man, wasn't that awesome? We were just learning how to be. And somebody had already leaped ahead of us and seen who God was. Amen? She really showed out that day. I'm glad she came by that day and poured out her very best. That showed me, listen, God's plan. Amen? He's so far ahead and behind and in the middle. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Some of y'all do this all the time. You worry about God's in control. If he's in control of a little old girl who an alabaster box of ointment to show out in front of a bunch of people, guess what? He'll do the same for you in every aspect of your life. God is so good at orchestrating every event for the salvation of the world and the glorification of him. Let's all stand.